We're so excited that you're here, and Gary was way too kind. Obviously, this was not all my doing. The Lord is in this, and the church has been faithful to invite their friends. So I am thankful that each and every one of you are here, and that we have this opportunity to share over the open word of God with one another. So if you would, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 1 is where we will begin. John chapter 15, verse 1. This passage comes as Jesus is giving his instructions to his disciples, and some of you may think of this as the final instructions. I mean, he's not quite to the cross yet, but he is coming very close, and this is his instruction that he's going to be giving to his disciples that are going to get them through this event that is coming. Jesus has said that I am going to die, but it hasn't sunk into his disciples yet. So he is giving them the instruction that is going to get them through this cross event, him dying, and then 3 days later, rising again. So this is important both for the people that we're hearing, and it's important for us today. And I hope that as we see this, I've got just 2 points this morning, but I'm hoping I'll get through my first one. What is here is so deep and so lovely. We could dwell and meditate on John 15 for quite a while. And I'm glad that we are here this morning, but before we push into John 15, we need to realize that in John 14, Jesus has given a very important distinction for the people of Israel. He says in John 14, verse 6, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus has totally reoriented the Judeo-Christian life with that statement. No longer is the temple the primary place of worship. No longer is sacrifices going to be sacrificed on the altar. But we have Jesus, the final sacrifice, here. And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We are going to see that John 15 is all about a relationship, and that relationship must come through the door of Jesus Christ. So we have to have that in mind. But this morning, we need to root our lives in being Jesus's friend. I hope that in John 15 we will see the beauty of the fact that Jesus calls us friends, and the truth that that gives us, that we can sink down deep into the soil and grab onto the fact that if we are found in Christ, we are not only Christ's friends, but we are a friend of God. What an amazing truth. Root your life in being Jesus's friend. Make it the foundation. Point number one. Make sure you connect to this root. Make sure that the connection is made between you and this root. You don't want to miss this, because if you miss being connected to the root, you miss everything. You miss life as it should be lived. Make sure you are connected to the root. I'm going to read all of John chapter 15 and into the first four verses of 16. If you would follow along with me as I read. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because you have known the Father. Because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we look into John chapter 15, we see the beauty of your word, Lord, the promises here that go as far back as the beginning of creation. Lord, may we see the depths and beauty of the fact that we have the opportunity to be a friend of God. Not a mere servant. Not a mere slave. But Lord, to have a relationship with Christ. And through Christ, to have fellowship with the Father and the Spirit. Father, we thank you for this promise. We thank you for this word, and we thank you that we can hold on to this promise. We pray that as we look at this passage, that you will ground us in the fact that we have a promise that is deeper than anything that anybody can take away. Lord, no matter what comes in this life, we have a promise and an eternal hope that we can stand strong upon. Lord, I pray that we as your followers would follow you in your example. And if there's anyone here that is not a follower of Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. That they would see that they need to be a friend of Christ. And apart from that, they are not living. They're not living like they should be living, like you would have them live. They would not be experiencing the joy of a life given to you. Lord, we thank you for these promises. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, your precious Son. Amen. Root your life in being Jesus' friend. Make sure you are connected to the root. As I've already mentioned, we have to remember the backstory that Jesus is focusing on a relationship. I am the true vine. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now we get to John chapter 15, and we have to embrace Jesus as true Israel. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. At the very beginning, we have to also pay attention to the fact that this comes right on the fact, or right after Jesus telling his disciples that we are going to go somewhere. In John chapter 14, Jesus gives this promise, this command, that he is the only way to God, that the relationship is the most important thing. And then he goes through this teaching, and his disciples are not really, it's not really clicking. It's not really getting with them. And he says, we're gonna go away. But he starts back in again on the same subject, and he's approaching it from a different direction. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is picking up on all of this Old Testament imagery. You see, when the Israelites would have heard this, the Psalms would click. Isaiah would click. Different passages of the Old Testament, the promises of God, the fact that there is one like David who is going to come. God is going to cut off the nation of Israel, but there is going to be a stump that remains, and out of that stump is going to be a one single vine that is going to come. It is going to grow out of this stump. And Jesus is saying that I am that true vine. And is my Father, the God in heaven, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is the vine dresser. Jesus is declaring to all of them that the promise of Israel are here, and I am the true vine. I'm the one you've been waiting for. If you've been with us as we've looked through Luke, we've seen this time after time after time. Jesus is pointing to the fact that all of the Old Testament promises are going to be fulfilled within Him. Jesus is the true vine. Embrace Jesus as the true vine. Wrap your minds around Jesus' teaching on the vine in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. We see verse 2 is a warning. It's a warning. Every branch that does not bear fruit, God takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. This is a promise. This is a promise that every person in the world is in one of these two categories. You are either not of the vine and you will be cut off, or you are of the vine and you will be pruned and God will take care of you to make you like He desires, so that you may bear more fruit. God has a purpose in mind. Take heed to this warning. Know which group you're in. Not only that, but he continues in encouragement in verse 3. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Jesus turns to His disciples and says, don't worry about being cut off. Don't let that distract you. Don't let that get you down. He says, I have made you clean. You have received my words. You have held true to the promises. You have followed me. You have obeyed my commands. You are clean because of the words I've spoken to you. Hold on to this encouragement. And then see the command in verses 4 through 7. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the true vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Jesus tells them, he gives them the warning, he gives them the encouragement, and then he tells them how they can do it. Abide in me. That seems a little strange to us. What does it mean to abide in Christ? What does this mean? How can I stay in Christ? How can I be one who abides? How can I be one who bears much fruit? Because Jesus' words are true. Apart from Him, we can do nothing in verse 5. Not only that, but if we don't abide in Christ, then we have the promise that the judgment is at hand. If we are not found in Christ, then we will be found apart from Christ, and God's judgment will be upon us. He will cast us away. The branches will be withered, and they will die, and they will be gathered and thrown into the fire. But if we abide in Him, and His words abide in us, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Hold on to these ideas of bearing much fruit and asking and it will be given to you. Because these are going to be important as Jesus goes into His explanation of how we are to abide. He's given us the command. Now He's going to give us the consolation. And then He's going to go into some instruction. The consolation of this promise, this command, is that in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That if you abide in Christ, you will bring glory to the Father. That's the point of all of this. If we are abiding in Christ, if we are living the way God has called us to live, then we will bring glory to the Father. And that is the point that Jesus is driving home. Not only will they bring glory to the Father, but you will bear much fruit. And in that, prove to be my disciples. Jesus is all about giving the glory to the Father. Jesus consistently throughout John is saying, I am not doing my will, I'm doing the Father. I'm doing the job that God has given me to do. I am following the Father. Jesus is consistently through this book giving glory to the Father. And He says that if we abide in Him, our lives will have the same goal. That we will be giving glory to the Father. And as we are seeking to live our lives will become fruitful. As God is coming and trimming us and pruning us, our lives will be fruitful and we will prove to be disciples. Hold on to that word, disciple. Because Jesus is going to pack this word with so much meaning and so much understanding and so many blessings that we are not going to be able to comprehend them all. Not only are we to wrap our minds around Jesus' teaching on the vine, but we are to revel in the meaning of Jesus as the true vine. Verses 9 through 17. First, we have the introduction, the connection. How do we abide in Christ? Verses 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus gives us our first hint. He says, the Father has loved me, and I have loved you. And as we do this, as God has done this plan, Jesus commands us to abide in His love. So we are to soak up God's love. We're to soak up God's love. As the Father, He loved the Son. And as the Son has loved us, we are to soak up the Father's love. If you want to abide in the Father, or if you want to abide in Christ, abide in His love. Not only just abide in His love, but He pushes it further in verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, and abide in His love. Jesus makes this connection. That we abide in God's love by following what He has commanded us to do. What an amazing truth. Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. Jesus points to the law. He points to what the Father desires. He points to himself as true Israel. It says, follow my example. Follow me and you will abide in God's love. Why? Because I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Notice the promise. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. God, or Jesus, through the Apostle John, points to the fact that if we abide in the Father's love by keeping his commands, by doing what he has told us to do, this is not going to be a burdensome thing. This is not going to be some heavy burden put upon us. But this thing is going, these commands, these jobs, these acts of love given as spiritual sacrifices in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, these are going to be turned to God, and what they're going to do, they're going to fill us up with joy. If you want your life to have meaning, if you want your life to be filled with love and meaning, follow Jesus' command. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Jesus wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be filled with great joy. But not only that, he goes even further. Verse 12. This is my command. Do you want to know how you keep the commands of God? He's going to tell us. Jesus is going to tell. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus goes any deeper, even deeper. He's told us that we are to abide in him. And by abiding in him, we're to glorify the Father and love the Father. And by doing that, we will keep his commands. And when we keep his commands, we're going to love those around us. We looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan last week, and we saw the fact that God is extending the borders of friendship. This is not just someone that's like us that we would associate with. This is someone that we would consider an enemy. This is the Samaritan coming to that Jew that was beaten on that road and finding him help. This is being a neighbor, a friend, loving those around. Why? Because Jesus loved us. And look at verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is speaking these words, and he knows where he's going in just a couple chapters. He knows he is headed to that old rugged cross, and he is going to die on that cross for the sins of those who would believe in him. Jesus knows that it is blessed to lay your life down for another. And he's telling his disciples this beforehand so that when he lays his life down on that cross, they will understand these words. And they will realize that Jesus truly is the example. If I want to love people, I've got to love people like Jesus. I've got to look at those people that are down and out, and I've got to love them. I've got to love those people that I would never associate with apart from having Christ in my heart and his love shining through me. I've got to love others, because greater love has no one than this, than someone laid down his life for his friends. We see that we show Jesus to others. We proclaim the gospel by our actions. As we present the dead, buried, and risen Savior of Christ to others through our own sufferings, through our sharing of our lives, through sharing what God has done in us, as we share this miraculous event, God takes hold of that and draws people to himself. Jesus is saying, if you want to keep my commandments, love one another. And guess what this love is going to get you? All the blessings of this love. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And folks, this is going to hit the Israelites right between the eyes. Because Up to this point, Israel is saying they are the servant of God. They are the servant that is given to proclaim who Yahweh is. They're proclaiming this to the world, but they are not considered friends. They are the servant of God proclaiming the message of God. But ever since that day in the garden when they chose to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, they no longer are friends but are now servants. But Jesus is making this change. And he says in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." He is all of a sudden ratcheting up this promise. You are not only going to be my servants, but you are going to enter into a relationship with me. You have to have a relationship to be friends. You have to have a connection with one another. Jesus is saying that you are going to be connected to Him. You are going to be my friends if you keep my commandments. No longer is the Jew going to be pressed under by the law, but Christ fulfilled the law. And in fulfilling the law, He has given the benefit of that fulfillment to those who would be found in Him, to those that would have a relationship with Him. They will be His friends. And Jesus highlights this in the very next verse. "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus highlights this relationship. No longer are the Israelites, no longer are the Jews, no longer are we going to be hearing from prophets of God like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. No longer are we going to have to wait for the word of the Lord. But Jesus is going to step into our lives. He's going to send His Spirit. He's going to dwell within us. And we are going to have that relationship. We are going to have that relationship. We are going to have immediate access to God. "No longer will I call you servants who have to enter through a sacrifice in the temple, but I will call you friends," those who can approach me directly. What an amazing promise. What an amazing promise. Not only that, Jesus shares that this relationship is going to be deep. He is going to share with us what God is doing around us. He's going to make known to us what God is doing around us. And this promise of being friends comes with a mission. It comes with something for us to do. It comes with God pointing to an ultimate purpose. Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide." Jesus said that you have been chosen for this purpose. He looks at His disciples and says, "You have been chosen for this purpose." He could look at us and tell us that we have been chosen for this purpose, that we bear fruit. And that fruit remains. That begs the question, what kind of fruit and what fruit remains for eternity? Folks, the fruit that Jesus is primarily getting here, the fruit that He is primarily pointing to, is people. You want to abide in God's love, you want to follow His commands, love people. But don't just love people. Love them into the kingdom. You want to bear fruit? You want to have fruit around you? Abide in my love and share the gospel. Folks, the only way that we're going to have lasting fruit is to share the hope of Jesus and eternal life with those around us. You want to bear fruit for eternity? You want to have friends for eternity? Share the gospel with those who are dying and going to a Christless eternity. That is the fruit that remains forever. Fruit should abide so that whatever you ask in my name, He may give it to you. With that understanding that this fruit that Jesus is primarily talking about, With that understanding, it gives a lot of meaning into this next phrase. We stumble about this because we ask many things of God, and many times we get answers that doesn't seem to jive with this verse. But God the Father is saying that if you ask Him to reach down and touch a lost sinner, that's a prayer He hears. That's a prayer He is active in. That is a prayer He wants to hear. Whatever you ask in the Father's name, He may give it to you. This is not a 100% done deal. We know that we pray for people all the time who are lost and going to hell. But folks, Jesus is telling us that that is not a fruitless prayer. That is a prayer that we should offer up time and time and time and time again, because God is at work. Today could be the day of salvation. Verse 17, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." It brings love into perspective. We're to love one another by loving people into the kingdom of God. We are to love them by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. The gospel will be known by our love. Revel in this meaning of Jesus as the true vine. We have a promise here of being a friend of Jesus. A friend with promise that death is not the end. This body may die, but our soul will be in heaven with the Lord one day to be resurrected just as Christ was resurrected, so that we might live in eternity with the promise of heaven forever. That is the promise of here. Jesus is saying that I do not just count you servants, but you have an opportunity to have a relationship with God. You have an opportunity to have something Adam and Eve couldn't dream of. They knew God in their innocence at the beginning, but they knew nothing about a Redeemer. One day we will know God through a Redeemer, and we will have a relationship like Adam and Eve had with Him in the garden. It will be so much deeper because we will know Christ and His suffering for our account. And we will have those around us who we have shared with, who we have loved into the kingdom. They will be our abiding fruit. As I said, I didn't get to my second point. But this is the primary point. Make sure you are connected to the root. If you are here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, John 14:6 is true for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The door to God is Christ. You have to come through the suffering Christ. And we do that by having faith, placing our trust in Him and keeping our commands. And we've seen from this passage what that means. That means abiding in His love, glorifying the Father, and loving those around us into the kingdom of God. Before I close, I want to point you to the promise. Why does Jesus say this? Why does Jesus go to this depth? Why? This is the second time around. John 14 is about the exact same thing. Why does Jesus go around the second time and He's trying to drive this point home? Jesus goes on to tell His disciples in the next part of this passage that the world's going to hate you. They're going to persecute you, and you can bet on the fact that it's going to be just as bad as they persecuted me. In verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 1, Jesus gives them the consolation. "I've said all these things. I've given you these promises. I've told you how to abide in my love and how to keep my commands. I've done all this to keep you from falling away." Jesus wants your strength, your faith to be strong, grounded in the foundation of His death, burial, and resurrection. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for these truths. We thank You for Your love. Lord, we thank You that through Christ we can be called a friend of God. Father, I pray that as we sing this hymn of invitation, that if there is anyone in this room that does not know you, that your Spirit would descend upon them, convict them of their sins, Lord, and may they not leave this place until they get it right. Lord, we ask that as those who of us who have claimed the name of Jesus Christ, that we would see the fact that we are friends of God. And because of that, we are to love those around us into the kingdom of God. Thank you for this word, our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.